Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. Inviting you aboard the Bible bus as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through one of the most well-known passages in the Old Testament. That's Micah 6:8, and it's a great study. So grab your copy of God's Word and get comfortable, and while you do, Greg and I have a quick update on our world prayer team, this time traveling through Indonesia.
That's right, Steve. We are traveling through Indonesia, and we're praying for Through the Bible broadcasts in the Madurese language and the Sundanese languages.
Yep. And Indonesia, I don't know if a lot of people know this. We've mentioned it before, but two things that I didn't know about before Through the Bible was it's made up of 17,000 islands.
It's an archipelago.
Okay. and it is the number one Muslim country
yes.
in the world. I mean, I don't think very many people would put those two facts up on the board.
And I'll raise you a fact and tell you that it's also the fourth most populous country in the world, which I think most people would be very surprised. It's incredible that that country that is so spread out and so many islands and has so many languages spoken, we have the chance to bring the gospel into this heavily, heavily Islamic context.
Yeah. And unfortunately, oftentimes is the case in highly Muslim countries. Persecution
yes.
is unfortunately a reality for many believers. And these letters from Indonesia make that evident.
They do. And we have a couple of really encouraging ones and ones that will cause us to pray. So this is from Luluk, and he's a gentleman. He's from East Java, and he speaks Madurese. And he says, I'm grateful for your Bible teaching. I especially like the Bible stories, the story about a woman who washed Jesus' feet, Jesus' disciple who betrayed him, and also the Last Supper. All of these stories remind me to be aware and careful in being a follower of Jesus. I'm a single parent. Please pray for my children to be closer to God.
There's a guy who's listening on
yeah,
a regular basis.
Absolutely. And we love to call this out, but it's such a powerful dynamic in our ministry. As soon as a person comes to Christ, you know it's real because they care about reaching their family.
Yeah.
That's the first, it's their own Jerusalem before they go into Judea and Samaria.
Yeah. Here's, this is a letter from Nur Hayate. I'm probably butchering that name. She's a woman and listens to our Madurese broadcast. The story of Mark 9, verses 38 to 50 blessed me. I learned that whatever we do in God's name will be remembered, and being his servant is a gift. We have to do everything with a joyful heart and be loyal to Jesus. I pray that I use all I have, eyes, hands, mouth, and feet, in a good way and to God's glory.
And Steve, we've talked about this before on the broadcast, but I just want to remind myself and you and all of us, isn't it wonderful how these people, both these letters talk about Jesus. They don't talk about Christianity.
Yep.
The people around the world who are hearing through the Bible are not, quote unquote, changing religions. They are going from some form of cultural religion to a relationship with Jesus. I just love to hear the Jesus focus in all of these letters. Now, here's one from Eileen. And she is from West Java, and she speaks the Sundanese language. The word of God is good for me. The blessings from listening are touching my heart. The word of God is valuable for my life. Because I was not born into a Christian family and did not know him for a long time, after marriage, I followed my husband and decided to be a Christian. So the word of God is new for me. Without the Bible, my life feels empty. Wow.
Wow. Just, again, such an encouraging letter to hear. Greg, why don't you pray for our listeners in Indonesia and for our study as we continue in Micah?
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you allow us the privilege of getting your word out into the far corners of the world, into places like Indonesia with thousands of islands, and letting us offer the hope that is found in Jesus Christ to just millions of people around the world. We bless you for that. We pray you'll keep us faithful, keep us on your agenda for getting the whole word to the whole world. And we pray that you'll bless our hearts and open our eyes as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we return back to the sixth chapter of the little book of Micah, I left off last time with that very choice, verse 8. It is the joy and delight of the liberal because he thinks this presents a works religion and that by works that he can be saved, because actually what he's doing here is answering the question of many sincere people that were among the northern kingdom at that day They were in darkness. They had not been taught the Word of God, and they wanted to know how to come before God, and they wanted to know whether they should bring burnt offerings, and should they bring a great many of them? Should they even offer their own children as human sacrifices? Now, he's answered all of those. None of these things does God require. What he's saying is simply this, that external religion without an internal experience, without reality on the inside, that a ritual is absolutely valueless. There must be a rebirth, a new nature given to the individual, and therefore externalities are not the important thing, and God never begins that. Now, we come here to verse 8. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. Now, if you want to know what God takes delight in, and that which he requires of man, here it is. And the liberal, well, he just jumps up and down for joy at this, but he misses the point. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Now, these are the three things that God requires. Now, if you look at these three things, they are addressed, first of all, to man. O man, what is good? This means not only the man in Israel, but the man in the United States. Not only the person of the 7th century B.C., but the man of the 20th century A.D. This is for man, and this now is what God requires. These are the three things you're to do justly. That is, you must have a righteousness to present to God. You must be a righteous person. Then the second is, and love mercy. We have love here, and to love actually the mercy of God. The third is humility, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, as we indicated last time, all three of these are the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, and none of us have any one of these things in our lives today. Now, Paul lists here the condition of man. He sets before us in the third chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 9, and going down through verse 18, he brings man before the judgment bar of God and shows he's guilty. Then he takes him into the clinic of God and shows that he's sick, sick nigh unto death. In fact, he's dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, no man, therefore, whoever is, can present these things to God. This is what God requires. How can you meet it? Paul says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Somebody says, well, that's in the New Testament. No, it's not, friend. All that Paul does in that section of Romans is quote the Old Testament. We find that back in the 14th Psalm, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good, none righteous, none that does good. Now, that's what God says about you. But God says he requires righteousness. How are you going to present it, my friend? Now he goes on to say in verse 11 of chapter 3 of Romans, there is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. In other words, he says there's none that acts on even the knowledge that he has. And how many of you today, if you're not a Christian, do you really live up to your ideal? Have you attained the goal that you set? Have you come to the plateau of life where you're satisfied with your living? May I say to you that none of us even acts on the knowledge that we have, and there's none that seeketh after God. Now somebody says, where is that found? Back in Psalm 14, verse 2. Let me read it. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. There wasn't any. verse 3, they're all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's Psalm 14:3. Now, I don't have time to do it, but from the Old Testament, I could multiply, friends, these statements again and again and again. Here's what God requires. But the Old Testament also makes it very obvious that you can't present this to God. You do not have this. Therefore, there must be a change in the life because there's none righteous. God requires righteousness. And we are told that Jesus was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. That word's righteousness. He's raised for our righteousness, that we might have righteousness. And then by the Spirit of God, we might produce righteousness in our lives. And then love of mercy. And none of us have that in our human heart. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Paul says that we've all gone out of the way. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, this is the picture of man. This is the way that man is today. The point that is presented to us by Isaiah in Isaiah 53 is in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And evidently, us all have iniquity, or he wouldn't have made a statement like that. So let's not be hypocritical when we come to this verse and see that we're to walk humbly with our God. While we're told here that none seeketh after God. We want to come our way. Now, may I say this to you, and I say it in all kindness, and I trust that it might startle some of you and waken you out of your condition. If you believe that your church membership or your character are your good works today are going to get you to God, then may I say to you, you bypass God's way. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, if you can get to God by this route here, presenting a righteousness, by loving mercy, and by walking humbly with God, if you can do that, and you do that on your own, then may I say to you that when you get to heaven, you can tell God to move over, that you want to share his throne with him, that you got there by yourself. You didn't need him. You're your own God. May I say to you, God says that he doesn't even share his glory with another, and I don't think he'll share his throne with you. My suggestion is, why don't you come God's way and not man's way? This is what God requires. But who are you kidding that you think you can present this in your natural state? My, how verses like this held up to the human family, and then they're commended for being polite folk and nice, especially on Sunday. And they seem so genteel and so lovely, and yet have never come God's way. May I say to you, how can you live in a hypocrisy like that and continue on and on in that? Why not be honest with God? Just come right out with you. Go to him. Tell him that you're a sinner. He already knows it, but be nice if you told him. It's better than climbing on a psychiatrist's couch and talking to him. Talk to God. Tell him the thing that's wrong with you. Tell him about your hang-ups. Tell him about the sin in your life. And God will save you. God will redeem you. Now, I've spent a long time here because this is a very important place in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to move on from here into something also that is very important. Now, having presented to these people what God requires, he's going to show them now how far they've fallen short of it. And this will be the reason that God will judge them because of their willful and continual sinning God's going to judge them. Now, will you listen to this? Verse 9, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Now, we've seen that Micah has been directing his prophecies largely to the urban areas, to the cities. His writing reveals that he actually is a very sophisticated writer, that he was in the know. He belonged to the upper echelon. Now, he's in contrast to Amos. Amos said, "Why, I'm no prophet. Why, I'm just a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I'm a farmhand. I'm a country boy. I've just come to town. I'm wearing yellow shoes." But he happened to be God's man also. But Micah now is different. And you notice he is crying to the city. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Now the rod is for judgment. We read back in the second Psalm, he shall break them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. The rod represents the judgment of God. Now that judgment is coming upon this nation. And the man of wisdom, that is the man in that day who believed God, who would listen, would recognize that judgment was coming upon the nation, and he would act accordingly, that the voice of God is lifted, and he speaks forth in judgment, and the man is a wise man who sees the dealings of God that will reveal his righteous character, as well as the fact that he is long-suffering, and he's patient, and he pardons iniquity, but also that he punishes. And that rod is the authority and the badge of that authority, that he is the judge who will judge. Now, let's move on here, because we see now here at verse 9 of chapter 6, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? In other words, there was still sin in the nation. And now he's going to reveal these sins specifically. He's going to spell them out, what they were. Now, verse 11, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances? Now, these people were coming, many of them, into the temple, bringing a sacrifice, going through the outward ceremony, and saying that they were doing justly and that they loved mercy. But what were they doing during the week? Well, God says, shall I count them pure with the wicked balance? I tell you, the butchers in that day were weighing their thumbs. Some butchers had thumbs worth several drachmas, let me tell you. And that was true. These men doing business were dishonest in their business dealings. And he says here, and with the bag of deceitful weights, they were absolutely crooked in their business dealings. They were avaricious. They were covetous. They were greedy. And yet they tried to pass off as religious folk. Now, verse 12. For the rich man are full of violence, and the inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Well, will you notice what is true here? They're guilty of violence, the rich were, and they're liars. They're deceitful. You can't believe them. Now, may I say to you, is this not a picture of our own nation? Is this not a picture of this wonderful land in which we live? You can't believe the news media. You can't believe the politicians. Doesn't make any difference what party. It's a day when it's difficult to believe businessmen. It's difficult today to believe those in the military, in the leadership. And actually, we're living in a nation today where most of us little folk are confused. We don't know who to believe. And this was the situation in that land, and God did not approve that. In fact, that is the thing that brought down the nation and brought down the judgment of God upon them. Now, I want to make this statement, and I want to make it very clear because I love my country. I hate to see what's happening to it today. But I have taught for years that the United States would have to go down at the end of this age for the very simple reason that we are not in prophecy. And we're a world power today, but will we be tomorrow? And it seems that we are going down very fast. Well, let me say that at the time that I'm making this tape, things look very dark in this land of ours. We don't know who to believe. An energy crisis has come upon us, and it didn't come suddenly. It didn't come in the past few months or the past few years. It's been coming for many years upon us. And many of us, I say many, a few of us, have been crying out that America is going to be judged. Well, we apparently at this stage where I'm speaking from right now, it looks like that we're moving into that orbit today. And many were warning 20 years ago, in fact, after World War II, that oil should have been brought out of the Middle East at that time and that we should never have used our own reserves. But you see, because of the greed, and it was called good business, of course, because it was making money, and we went into an age of affluence and plenty, and we really left God out. And he's pretty much left out at this time. There's been no mention at the time that I'm making this tape that we need to turn to God in this emergency in which we find ourselves today. The thing I'm trying to say is this, that this nation, Northern Kingdom, was in the same condition that we are in today. And God said, I brought judgment upon this nation. And they were my chosen people as a nation. And I brought judgment upon them. You see, we have a philosophy of human government presented to us here. And now, listen to him. Therefore, also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. God says, I'm going to first start taking away the oil from you, and I'm not going to stop there. You're going to find out you're going to run short on many things before I'm through judging you. Verse 14, thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. That's verse 14. And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. God says that you're not going to be able to enjoy all of these things that you've enjoyed, these little goodies that you have had, and you have given no recognition to God at all. God says, I'll judge you. Now, he moves on. Verse 15, thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. God says that I intend to begin to cut you down, and I'll cut you down gradually. And that, of course, would give them an opportunity to turn to God, because we're going to find out when we do get to this next chapter here, which we will get to next time, and we'll probably finish in two more times, but we're going to find out that God would have pardoned them any time. They would have turned to him. But my friend, you have to turn to him. God will judge sin, and he intends to judge sin. Now, we have one more verse in this sixth chapter, and we'll take that up next time and then move on into the seventh chapter. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Micah foretold of the destruction of Israel because of her sins. And, you know, Dr. McGee certainly made it clear that our own nation is headed in that same direction. Tomorrow, we'll hear about God's philosophy of government, and I sure hope that you'll make the time to be part of the Bible Bus and be with us. Until then, if you want to deepen your personal study of the Bible, remember we offer a wide selection of content in the resource section of our website, ttb.org. Or if you have questions, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. I'm Steve Schwetz, and for everyone at Through the Bible, we're grateful for your company on the Bible Bus and your partnership in taking the whole Word to the whole world.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.